podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. We do that every single week by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. And today we have the founders of X and O, and these guys rock. Brett Banker and Eric Siegel are prime examples of how to adapt and evolve to hashtag survive. In the face of a changing industry, they were fearless enough to start from scratch and reinvent what a brand agency partnership can look like with the launch of their new company, X and O, standing for Experts and Officers. X and O is a group of top-level talent from both brands and agencies serving as a CMO's secret weapon. So they have this group of experts that they call to help out. Brett is the former head of client services with a combined 23 years at Gray and two-time Agency of the Year Anomaly. He was a brand and business strategist for category and culture-leading brands at P&G, NBCU, Panera, and the NFL. Brett's teams have collaborated to win Gold Lions, an Emmy, and the Effie's Effectiveness Award. That one's hard to get. Those are all hard to get. In addition to X and O, Brett founded the DTC art kit company Smock Kit with his wife, Sam. Love that. Eric Siegel has contributed to 5 top 10 Super Bowl commercials, been awarded at Cannes DNAD, the One Show Emmys, Effies, and his campaign for Major League Baseball was quoted by President Obama. Eric is an investor, advisor, and former partner and chief creative officer of Anomaly Ad Age's 2017 Agency of the Year and two-time Fast Company Most Innovative Companies. He was named one of Ad Age's 40 Under 40 in 2015. So these guys rock. A lot of accolades. Together, Brett Banker and Eric Siegel are a premier level strategic partnership. And what sets them apart from other brilliant strategists is that their strategic approach to business doesn't have to just benefit their own business. It serves as a model to the rest of the industry. They were shortlisted. X and O was shortlisted for Campaign US Agency of the Year. So you're going to like this episode. It's a new model. I learned a lot. I came in a little underprepared, but they really took the time to explain to me what they're doing in this new model. So a lot of learnings, a lot of lessons for you all. You're going to want to connect with them. So I'm doing this thing. If you write a review on Apple Podcasts, and you leave it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can connect with me on LinkedIn and leave a little note, and I'll do my best to connect you with these guests or any of our past guests. And I'll do my best. Can't promise anything. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Eric Siegel and Brett Banker, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How the heck is New Jersey? And are you guys in an office? Are you guys working at home?
The office space in my house. We were kind of back and forth in between each other's houses the last year and a half. So call this home half the time.
Heck yeah. So what are we going to talk about today? I think we got to talk about X and O and what you guys are running. Tell me about this agency that you guys got.
You used the word, Gino. No, I'm just kidding. We like to say that we're not an agency, but we do not get offended when the word.
There we go.
Set it up.
We'll lock it down.
That's right.
Look, we Brett and I, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, but we have been working together for a very long time. That amount of time seems to change every time we tell the story, somewhere around 17 or 18 years, I think. We're old. I don't know. We spent the last, couple of years working together, talking about what we might start if we were going to start something. And we never really had the desire to. It wasn't just about having our own thing. And I think you see a lot of agencies popping up and, you know, I know you've talked to a number of folks who have started their own thing, which is amazing, unto itself, and it's hard and it's daunting and it's inspiring. But we were trying to sort of set out from the start to do something a little differently. I think we had kicked around a bunch of like concepts and they just felt, honestly, sometimes they just felt like we were just creating a concept just to have a concept, as opposed to something that was really built from either, beliefs. You know, belief of ours, something we strongly wanted to do, something we strongly wanted not to do anymore, which we could talk about as well.
Yeah.
And, or just sort of just, you know, observing how things were changing in the industry, how brands and agencies were working well together, where the pressure points were, where it felt like just shit just needed to change, frankly, like just some legacy thinking. And so, yeah, we finally settled on the model we have now. We're always kind of optimizing. We're always open. We're always talking about where to next. Really the idea for X&O was born, and we haven't really wavered. I mean, it's really principle driven.
Love it. So what is the founding principles, brand differentiator?
And it's a good follow-up question to me just leaving that hanging. Like,
yeah. Our principles are, we're lucky to be accent light. So we are all network and based, all experts. So people that have spent either a significant amount of time in the industry cracking the same problem over and over again, or have a real specialty to crack a specific challenge. So we bring experts in because they're 100% focused on the problem or the challenge, where they're not spread across five jobs at once. We can move incredibly quickly. So when I say quickly, I mean like days or weeks, versus in the agency world, you're moving typically in months and sometimes in many months because of how long it takes to galvanize a team around the problem, get the brief in, run towards it. And then timelines all kind of look the same. You're looking at rounds and rounds of revisions and changes, and we move really quick to the answer. We deliver that once. We'll optimize it one more time, and then we're finished. And what we leave clients with is typically a creative or strategic roadmap or vision for how to bring work in market. So we really try to hand them something that has immediate impact and value. So it's ready to go, either put out in the world, if it's strategic or creative, it's ready to move right to production.
So to sum that up a bit for you, X&O is actually short for experts and officers, right? And that's who's who. So we have no traditional agency hierarchy, right? It is all super senior talent. When we say experts and officers, there's a lot of like C-suite level folks, right? Ex-chief creative officers, chief strategy officers from the agency world. We also have a lot of people who maybe have never even worked a day in an agency.
Which is good. You need that perspective, because sometimes we're just doing the same stuff over and...
So that alone is very different than a traditional agency model, right?
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
It's new to me. You have to bear with me. I'm learning. This is a different model. I've interviewed a lot of freaking people in a lot of different agencies, and this is not an agency. This is a company of experts and officers.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Like this. This is cool.
You nailed it. And so the other thing, X&O's is actually also short for, like in sports, the X's and O's, as in the play it takes to win. What is the game plan? Because again, and I'll just keep using sort of a traditional agency as a foil because it's easier to understand. We don't have a full staff of makers either, nor do we have like a studio we're trying to funnel work into. So sometimes, and most of the time, we aren't the players on the field. So we draw the game plan, as Brett said. We maybe help, you know, rack a big play or two, but we're not necessarily running it. And then we hand that over to our clients, and they can then run that themselves.
Yep.
And I freaking love this.
The benefit of that too is we're as Eric said before, when we were talking to
Gino, a lot of you seem to mean it when you say that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like
your next move. Come on over.
The water's warm. I'm not an expert. I mean, I could be an expert for like podcast stuff if you need consulting on that end.
Yep. It doesn't necessarily, I said a lot of folks are like C-suite, you know, people who have run agencies or brands or departments, but just given sort of how all-encompassing marketing and advertising is now. It's not all old guys like me and Brett, yeah. Right? I mean, an expert could be, you know, AI. I mean, you could have been doing this for just a few years and be an expert in that. And so we kind of can go deep in sort of certain verticals, you know, whereas, you know, some other ex-CCO might be just a really sort of a creative generalist, if you will, right? Yeah. You have people who specialize in cause marketing, creator economy, publishing, luxury goods.
So you tap in, you get the dream team for the specific client needs. And it's usually the client that you're working with is usually the CMO of a brand.
We tend to work top to top, yes.
Which do you work with agencies if they need to, they need to fix their own branding own?
And less that, we have worked with agencies and it's more
white labeling for clients.
White labeling us. Hey, we're up against it. We need a big idea really, really quick.
What's white labeling mean?
Meaning like you can use us, meaning you won't even know that we worked on it. We get no credit for it. It's almost like hiring a freelance team. Crack a problem. X&O can be that freelance group that comes in and cracks a brief.
And we're kind of running in parallel with their creative department.
Okay. Yes. So like they get you guys in and you guys will step in, bring some ideas, playbooks.
That's right.
And then we're out. We don't necessarily care to get the credit if that's the model that we need to work in. As long as we're solving problems and we're doing that, put clients that find value in it, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So we're not looking for any retainers. Again, like a typical agency, we're all project-based.
Yep.
Nice.
We are looking for relationships, right? And a couple of our key clients we've worked with, you know, multiple times over, but they're all in short sprints, right? And each time they hand us a problem, to your point, we look at our roster of folks and we put the best talent and brains who are suited for that particular problem on that assignment. And for the next question that comes in, it might be a completely different team.
Right. And you have to figure out, well, I was going to say, if you got all these like experts, do they clash heads if they're on the same project? If they're coming from the top of their specific vertical or subject matter?
Yeah.
You know, how do they interact on these projects? And like, do they play well?
Many times they're working themselves or individually, and we'll have multiple experts working in parallel. So we're getting more cracks at the problem.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't put two subject matter experts work on the same problem. They're working in tandem. They're working simultaneously.
Well, you might have two or three teams, right? So one team, two people that know each other, have worked together before, are cracking the problem. We might have another team or two going at that same problem. And then we're getting answers from different perspectives. As you said before about, you know, diversity of thinking, that's really what it's all about. Our goal is to put a diverse range of thinkers on the problem. Many times working in little clusters or groups, sometimes one person individually. So we get different perspectives on the answer.
This is interesting stuff to me. Do you guys then, can I ask you about the bench? Like if we're talking about X and O's, playbooks, can I ask about the bench? Can I ask about some of these folks that are your experts? Can we drop some names here? Is that legal? How many you work with?
That's an issue. It's legal. But we won't do it. So one of our principles is our folks work anonymously. And it's for a few reasons. There are times where we will pull back the veil, so to speak, where, when necessary, right? If either sort of, the subject matter is not something where
either of us are comfortable
with, confident in, we'll pull back the veil and we'll bring one of our experts to the table and they can work directly to clients. Sometimes our clients will actually want our experts to get embedded in their team for a little bit. So sometimes we'll do that as well.
You two are the main conduit. Like you are the account leads within the clients. You're the in between. You're the liaison.
Sound guy now, Gino.
Sound guy. I'm a creative. I'm a strategist.
We wear all the hats now, honestly, which is one of the most fun aspects of this. I'll tell you, we'll get into this in a minute, but like there is something to be said about all the rules, the etiquette, if you will, within sort of a typical agency structure as well, having run a creative department a couple times, you know, the idea of, well, if I birthed that idea or if I wrote that piece of copy, then that's mine and I have ownership of it from end to end. We don't operate. We blew that all up because there's moments where you just go, thank you. You gave me your bit. And it's more of a team mentality, right? Someone plays in their position. We get something from them. I might hand it over to somebody else who's got better design chops and they're going to then build on that idea. And we can sort of really play to the particular strengths and like true expertise of the people on our roster, right? Where you just don't do that typically. It's just not how it goes in a typical creative department.
Meaning there's egos that could get trampled on. If someone develops the idea, they're conditioned to think, well, now I'm going to take it to the next phase and I'm going to go to production. I'm going to go shoot it. I'm going to finish it. And that idea is my baby for 4 or 5 months.
Right.
That now we get that.
Well, sometimes somebody's just amazing at cracking the big idea,
but can't.
They might not be great at writing a script.
Yeah.
And there's somebody who's amazing at taking that idea and writing killer scripts. And then there's somebody who just thrives in sort of thinking experientially. And we'll really pull the strings and put those different people together. And sometimes they're working together and sometimes they might not know who else has even touched this project. And our clients don't either because they don't really need to, as long as we're delivering the goods at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. What are the briefs that you're getting? Are these like traditional creative briefs for campaigns? Is it like larger transformation? Could it be run the gamut?
Transformation. We've had a few positioning projects. We've had product positioning, brand positioning,
naming
for innovation. Hmm. I have a new
experience
designs, activations,
big create, and then yeah,
a big lot of creative platforms.
Creative platforms.
About 30 to 50% of our projects have been, I have a breezy. I've got a brand that needs reinvention or reinvigoration. Give me the next 3 to 5 year enduring creative platform for that brand.
Can you showcase then? I mean, you're giving them the playbook. So then the agency or the brand might run it and then put it down the system. So how do you showcase the work that you've made?
It's a good question.
Given that.
And, you know, this kind of comes back a little bit to what you asked us before we turned the mic on, which was, what do you hope to get out of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because part of what we're up against is we're not super visible, right?
I'm trying to PR you guys.
Right.
That's my job.
This is it, man. This is it.
You guys look good, though. Maybe we make this a video podcast, but... Yeah.
It's a little different, right? Because we don't have, hey, so-and-so put this campaign out yesterday or made this piece of film, like the way that, you know, that gets promoted every day in the trades in our business. We don't
tell you what, this sounds like a nice job for a PR professional. Nice.
You got it. There is some work to be done there. Right, Renee?
I like that.
Yeah.
So not to stress about any campaign launches and...
Yeah. And look, it's interesting that you mentioned that because today was, you know, probably the first time a client has taken, because a lot of the clients were a year out, right? From when they're bringing us in early on, then we hand it over, they either develop it with their in-house team or their agency. And a piece of work went out today from Coca-Cola, which they asked, can we credit you on, which, you know, meant a lot because most clients don't ask, can we? But also they have a deep relationship with a massive holding company and they have to be careful about that. But we're all together, right? So we create the idea, it gets handed over to their studio and their studio went and made it. And also other parts of their...
And they did a wonderful job with it.
They did a great job.
And it's interesting too, because I don't know. I actually think it might've been when Brett and I like first decided this was it. When we truly committed to each other. I got down on one knee. No,
yeah, but professionally.
Brett said to me, he's like, are you sure you're okay doing this? Like, you're not going to get to make anything ever again.
I had to look him in the
lights. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but like, there is truth in that. And it's interesting because on one hand, I was like, look, I've done that plenty. Like, I'm scratching a different itch with this.
Yeah.
Different model. To your point, we are building a company. I want to see this thing grow and be successful. But from a pure creative standpoint, this thing that got shared today, even though we handed it over in
so yours
concept form, we saw it take slightly different twists and turns.
I was going to ask, do you get pissed with the, because you used to have your hands on the work. You were probably involved in the process.
It's a different.
You got to let it go.
It's a different type of project. Yeah, you let it go. And there's an appreciation for seeing an idea, even if it was just nothing but an idea, seeing that get picked up by somebody else, seeing them get excited about it, build on top of it, put their personal stamp on it, and turn it into something else. But it's still, you go, man, that started with this idea that fundamentally was strong and had value day one. And they saw that and they took it and ran with it. And like, I don't know, it's pretty impressive. And honestly, beyond the sort of business success that we've had so far, that is like legitimate validation, I think, of our company and our model, that that works.
Yep. And we also get to pull ourselves out of the inherent building tension between clients and agencies, where clients are building in-house models and in-house production models, because that's tough. And an agency,
I like that.
And you're like, and that team and that group brought that idea forward and they want to go make it. And like, they've set themselves up to now bring that into the world. And the client's going, but I can do that more efficiently in-house. And that's a, it's a problem that a lot of agencies are trying to reconcile right now. And it's not easy to do. And what we've done is separate vision and execution. And we deliver vision. And if you want us to help you execute it, we can. But we almost prefer not to. This model that Eric just talked about, that we just was like this client that delivered the work today, that's the ideal scenario. We had the head of their studio on the call when we presented it, the final presentation. And on the call, he was like, man, this is, I can already see where it can go. And that handover saved that client so much money, because then it just went right into the production phase versus another 4 or 5 months of development or iterations or revisions.
And it keeps you guys fresh and smart and innovative at the top level too. Like if you're not getting into the ground, you don't burn out.
Right. At that problem solving, crack the big challenge at the top. Like that's ideally what we keep getting to rerun. It's okay.
Are some of these people, how do you recruit these experts? Like you just hit them up, like you worked with them before, they know you.
Like, yeah. A lot of this is years. Personal network, right?
Yeah.
People who I think beyond that is the recommendation of those within our network. It's like you can look at great book online. I mean, someone's portfolio, and then I don't know, people can claim credit for, there's also,
it's fuzzy.
You never really know. The greatest recommendation for me is a personal one from somebody else whose taste and talent I respect.
Yep.
And so it's been a lot of that. And it's really interesting, man. Right now, like the talent pool is really strong out there. People are leaving the agencies to sometimes go brand side, sometimes just to be on their own.
Like, and there's
a lot of great talent out there. So we work with people who are either independent contractors or sometimes even have their own small outfit.
Yeah. Our perspective is this model would not have worked 7 or 8 years ago, because leading up to, and then certainly during and after the pandemic, the quality of talent, as Eric just said, skyrocketed, because a lot of people were used to working from home. It reset your work-life balance a little bit. I think it also reset the value exchange. Like, wait, what am I doing? What am I delivering? And what am I getting paid for that? And let me go off and do this one job for 3 or 4 weeks. And you get to shape that a little bit more individually. It's yours. And you tend to get paid better. It's a different exchange rate on a day rate versus on a salary. So a lot of people didn't come back to those corporate big holding company jobs and started their own individual company or small LLC. And those are the people that we work with typically.
I did that.
You did?
With Breaking and Entering.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You started a thing. Right.
What? I'm trying to figure out how can this help aspiring advertisers? I think understanding the different business models out there for sure. And
you mean existing advertising companies?
Companies, or
aspiring advertising professionals, like student.
like want to get into the business?
Yeah, because you're not going to hire. I mean, unless a student could be perceived as an expert on TikTok, if they're craft, but they're not crafting. Maybe they have a good strategy. There's probably some unicorns out there that you might be interested in, but for the everyday average person trying to get a job in here, what are we going to talk to them about?
That's a great question. I think honestly, I think what we're doing is more of like a microcosm for the bigger picture. No, it's not like a direct, hey, come work with us, because our model isn't that. But I would just say opportunities and different models sort of abound at the moment, right? Whereas before it was you went to a portfolio school, mm-hmm. and you came out and like go get yourself a big agency job and work your way up the sort of ladder, right? Go from junior to mid to senior to, you know, some sort of C level, like that was a game. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think you can really, you know, find a team, a company that, you know, you can align with, both in terms of sort of values and the way that you approach the work that you do. But also in to your point, like in a way that they're going to utilize your specific skill sets uniquely, so that you're not just all of a sudden you go from somebody who's great at this or that and so-so at this to just being, again, a generalist at the bottom of the rung. Like that's not necessarily the path.
Anymore. Yeah. Like we both grew up in that traditional agency structure, and you looked at your path forward and you knew there were 7 rungs on the ladder before you were making a real impact, right? You're making a daily impact, but it's going to take a while. Mm. Now, so we hired our first employee today. She's going to work directly with 2 founders. And what I would say to someone coming out of school is the hierarchical pull is draining. And if you step into a position where the hierarchy is abound, ask yourself, is that, and I'm just saying, even at big agencies, that's starting to flatten. And where it's not, I think that's a mistake, because young leaders today are coming in more and more prepared, and I believe can bring value much more quickly than 15 or 20 years ago. And those people should, you know, if you have the drive to do that, as Eric said, look at other models or look at the smaller agency where you can, you know, in a couple of years, see a trajectory where you're making a real impact on the company versus when we came in, it was, we're making an impact on an account, you know, and that's kind of right. What you're put into. It's like, that's your account. There's, if you're on the account team or the creative team, there's 7 or 10 people above you, and work your way up into that account for 3 or 4 years. And I would just tell people to look around, because you can make an impact more quickly in companies with a flatter structure.
Yeah. What were your guys' first jobs in advertising when you really broke in? How'd you do that?
I worked at Gray. I was a account coordinator for Gray, which I don't even know if that exists anymore. So
Gray, yeah. Yeah. This is that, and this, that, just for everybody person. Listening, that's Brett Banker speaking.
Position would exist, but it was a great example. And even then, it was an account coordinator, and then an assistant account executive, and an account executive, and account soup. And it was, you know, 6 levels until you got to, we would say, a director level, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's changed a little bit. The hierarchies continue to flatten, which is a good thing. But that was my first job. Yours, sir?
Mine was actually while I was at Miami Ad School. I worked for a small agency in Miami called Concept Cafe. I mean, I loved that experience. And I had an instructor who liked what I was doing in class, and he had a team of like 5 of us.
Yeah.
I was me and another student, and then a couple of folks who are, you know, a few years into the business. And I don't know, it was like, we had so much freedom. Like we were having fun. So I did have a taste of something different, I think, really early. And then I actually came to New York, and I was employee number 40 at McGarry Bowen when they were small and scrappy, which is kind of wild. So I had massive opportunity there. And like another piece of advice, I think I made CD. I think I made creative director actually 2 years into my career, because I made a play for it. I came in I started a little late in advertising. So I had my own company before that. I worked in radio and television. I did some production. And so I think I had a little bit more experience. I was a little bit older, but honestly, I asked what I wanted. And I think That's also advice I have for other people. Look, you got to make sure you can, if you get it, you got to make damn sure you're ready to deliver. But, you know, I made a play. I was working on an account and I thought I could run the account day to day. And, you know, I proved myself in a really important moment. And then, you know, the powers that be took a chance, and I'm still super appreciative.
Appreciative of that. And I learned from that, and I let other people take big swings as a manager later on in my career because of that.
It is interesting when you are confident after you've proven that you can work hard. After some time, if you just kind of verbalize it and say, I want to be this by then.
Yeah.
They'll work for you. Someone,
I believe I can be this.
Yeah.
You know,
There's a difference between, look, I want more money, or I want that title.
Yep.
And I would like to take a swing at that job. I always, those two things are really different. And I always appreciated when someone came to me with the latter, just going, I don't really care. Call me whatever you want. I want that. I want to swing at running this thing. Right. I think I have it in me. Like, yep. I
fuck. Give me a shot.
Put me in, coach. Get back to the bench.
Put me in, coach. Let me get an op. Let me get a try.
One of the other things, because I know this is for aspiring folks in the industry, and something Eric and I were talking about earlier today, is something else I would tell them is just always ask.
Talk to them. Don't dive in.
No, it's just like, ask why. Like, too often, this is what we're doing. Here's the brief. Go. We assemble a team of 7 or 10 to go at that thing. And you go, I'm at the bottom of that group. I'm not going to go, wait, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right way to answer it? Are we internally at this agency? Are we surrounding the problem the right way with the right people? Do we have the right brief? Just too often, Eric and I, as head of departments at our last agency, you would just see teams running it in circles around a problem and not pulling the ripcord. And as you see that, maybe the youngest person seeing it before some of the other ones, because they've been in the system long enough. They're like, no, we've got a deadline that we're running towards. We got to get that solved by then. And you go, but wait, we're not doing the right thing. So just stop and go, what are we doing and why? And that's what has really excited us about XML, is that at every point, because we're coming in at a, you know, top to top at a senior level, they're asking us to help define the problem and go, what are we solving for? Right. So we're rarely given a brief to go, all right, go off. It's typically, this is the question we have. What do you think?
Yeah.
And we get to unpack that with them.
We
go,
we also make decisions on who we work with. You asked, you know, about the what'd you call it? The bench.
The bench. Yep.
They're all starters though, Gino. but you know, it's not just that they know their thing inside out. It's not just that they're super experienced and super talented. We bring in people who have that sense of agency, right? That's all I can call it. Is there's a shared DNA that they love coming up with big ideas, but they're all also very business minded. They understand that this is a business, right? We're not making art here for art's sake. And they all have that sort of sense to raise their hand and like pump the brakes and ask the question before they just go and sort of take orders and head down a path. And I think that's really important, because you do not waste time, and no one's got time anymore. And time's really expensive too.
So the thing I would add to that is they all have great instincts, because if we're asking someone to solve something in 5 or 6 working days, where in a typical agency environment, they might get 3 weeks to solve. Like, you got to really rest on your instinct and gut to make decisions creatively, strategically along the way. And I think, you know, you'll hear a lot of agencies say the agency's at their best in a pitch situation. And that's because timing is well-defined and it's short. The team is small and it's made up and well-crafted of like the right levels. It's not inundated, right? And you can move with pace, because usually also from client agency, the problem is well-defined, right? There's a really good brief. The client has like taken the time to go, all right, if I'm going to ask 5 agencies to pitch work to me to create a future relationship, I got to make sure the question is really sharp and my brief is tight. I know exactly what I'm asking for. And then agencies are usually at their best in that environment. And that's typically the way we're working. We're kind of working in those pitch environments, given the speed, clarity, the question, and the talent on the problem.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you help brands like create RFPs and stuff?
No, we haven't done that. And you know, that's,
I feel like that would be a good use. Like,
it is interesting. Yeah. Because
like, you guys would crush that. Like,
we can sidebar that one, Gino.
Yeah, we should. There might be a small business model that we can talk about with you.
Yeah, I got plenty of ideas too. I got some other ones.
Because the other side of that is we're typically not in a lot of the pitch conversations because we don't pitch.
Yeah.
Because for our model,
right,
we're separating vision and execution. All we do is the vision. Basically, that is the pitch. So when an agency comes in and says, I'll give you a month of thinking so I can win a year of work, mm-hmm. we don't get the year of work. So we have...
If a brand's looking to get an agency or they're looking to put out an RFP, you could probably step in there and give them like the framework, figure out of their business problems so that an agency can come in and you could probably consult there too.
I was going to say, I'd rather do that and give them the answer and then sort of point them to
an agency.
You know, an agency taking out,
take
them to production, whatever production might be.
That's kind of interesting.
And actually, we were brought in on a project where we were potentially subverting a pitch, where we would come in and do our 3-week sprint to give them the answer to save client. I mean, there was an article that reposted probably 6 months ago now, right? Which is the average cost for a pitch for a client is about $1 million, right? Like that's what it costs in resources, time, bringing the agencies in. And if we could subvert that by delivering the answer and then doing what Eric says, maybe marrying that with a team that can deliver on the execution.
Or maybe in-house. Maybe it's their in-house team.
In-house. Yeah. But it has that capability. We'd love to do that. We tried. And we had an interested client, but he had a board that, as I think Eric said earlier, that we're fighting up against some legacy thinking. Some of the legacy from these boards is, no, I want five of the best agencies giving me, I want five cracks at. Why not?
You're kind of getting that on the back end of what you guys are offering. You're getting these experts from different perspectives.
That's how we see it. But, they're going, all right, unless you can, how do I know that that's the best of what's out there unless I enlisted five of the best agencies to get it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would keep trying that. That could be interesting.
We're trying to crack it.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for like some of the brand side guests that we have on.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do. Absolutely.
I love it. Great advice. Great stuff overall. How are you guys feeling so far? Is there anything else that you guys want to get out there to our audience, to the people out there listening that we didn't cover?
I don't think so.
No, I just think, listen, whether it's on you just mentioned some of your past guests.
I'm sure some of them are on the bench.
I was going to say, if your brand's
I was going to ask you offline.
And if you're out there in the sort of, gig economy, looking to, it's interesting, man, because a lot of times, like when we talk to creatives, it's not that different working with us versus freelancing for any other agency, right? Meaning like, okay, you'll pay me for a couple of weeks to come up with ideas. Like that's kind of what I do. It's a lot different when we're working with ex-CMOs or, a head of growth or innovation. On the creative side, it's a little different. But I think I will say there's a lot less layers. There's a lot less politicking. It's really clean. We trust our people to do what they do, to lean on their instincts. So yeah, if anybody's listening that,
And we have the benefit across any of the listeners to work direct to client. We've worked direct to agencies. So any agencies out there that need powerful, bench strength and help, we can do it. And then those that are looking for a gig or a freelance job, we're always looking for great talent.
Well, I think we got it, guys. I think this is cool stuff. I'm going to ask you some more questions offline, but
amazing. Burn it, Gino.
I love it.
Appreciate you taking
this. This is fun, man.
Yeah. I learned a lot. Sorry, I was a little slow at the beginning there. I had to figure this out and, now I'm jacked up for you guys.
Honestly.
It's a very different model. So, we looked at some of your past guests too. We operate very differently than.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. That makes for a good episode. How can people reach out to you guys? Like, what's the best way to do that? Is that on the website or is it LinkedIn?
Yep. LinkedIn, definitely. We're very active there. xo@heyxo.co is our email. Yeah, any of those ways is probably the easiest way to get us.
Wonderful. Well, I'll have that listed then in the description.
Yeah. We'll get you that.
Nice work, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Have a good day.